Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So who's a better football player, Ndamukong Suh or Gerald McCoy? And who will be better for the Bucs? Are the Rays going to remain a contender in the American League East? Or are they going to slide back a little bit here to oblivion? And it's Boston, St. Louis in the Stanley Cup Final. What can the Lightning learn from this year's NHL playoffs? And who is now the face of Tampa Bay sports? That might be up for debate as well. We've got all that to discuss with former radio partner of mine and Time Sports columnist Tom Jones, now of the Poynter Institute of Media Studies, on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Hey, folks, if you're like me, you know, it's summertime. That means your electric bill is going to go up, and it can go over $300, which is way too much money. If you want to save 90 to 95% off on your electric bill, listen to me now. May Electric Solar, that's right. They're a locally owned company, and May Electric Solar is the safest solar available, and they don't use high voltage like other solar companies. And May Electric Solar has a 25-year warranty on all their equipment and labor. Now, they also have a full showroom. You can see their products, and they are open on weekdays. May Electric Solar has been around for 12 years. They've earned a great reputation with their customers and their peers. Now, there's many other solar companies out there trying to imitate them and use their great name. But remember, they don't subcontract to anybody, and they'd never use subcontractors in any way. So everyone knows it has to be May all the way. So stop the insanity of these out-of-control electric bills. Start saving now. Call May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. And if you call right now, you can also receive a 30% tax credit by changing to solar energy through 2019. Call the real May Electric at 727-819-2862. All right, Tom Jones of the Poynter Institute joins us now. Good to have you back, Tommy. This is like old times. Always a treat to have you. And, boy, we haven't spoken in a while. A few things have gone on around here in sports. And I'm curious, like, what is it like from afar? Let's start with the Bucs. Of course, Bruce Arians now fully in charge and riding around on his golf cart and conducting OTAs. It's a little different. We got no music out there. You've got your mom, the meatloaf, the whole thing. But the big story, of course, is Gerald McCoy. And
yeah,
Gerald McCoy cut after 9 seasons. Didn't want to take a pay cut to stay here. Apparently, they couldn't work out a trade. Obviously, Arians had said some things, and now it looks as for all the world that they have finalizing an agreement with Ndamukong Suh. As we tape this podcast, it may be done by then. I'm just curious, before we get into like Suh or versus McCoy, sort of like what do you make of Gerald McCoy's career in Tampa? What will be when people think about him? And I think he's going to end up in the Ring of Honor, but what
he
do
should.
You think they'll remember about his career here?
You know, Rick, it's a complicated thing. And the thing that I've learned over the last couple of days, and it's something that you've already known, I've known it, but every now and then we're reminded of it, is first off, there's no good divorce ever.
No, you know, that's true.
And we could look back at Gerald's career, and it was, and we'll get into that in just a moment, but I don't blame the Bucs for doing what they did. He was making too much money for what he was bringing him at this point, and they wanted to move on, and I get that. But there's no easy way to make that step, because you could sit there and say, Gerald, you mean a lot. You're going to go in the Ring of Honor someday. We're so proud that you were here. You've done a great job. But, and everything that comes after the word but is no good, you know, because even you could say, we don't want you at that money. Well, all you hear is we don't want you. And,
right.
And the part about at that money, it gets lost. So the divorce was messy. Could the Bucs have handled it better? Maybe, but... Ultimately, I don't know how you fix it. You know, it's just it's a business. It's the business of football, and this is what happens. As far as his legacy, Rick, I've always been a big fan of Gerald McCoy. I think if you were to list 100 reasons why the Bucs have been bad over the last decade, his name should not appear anywhere on that list. I think he's been an elite football player. The problem with Gerald McCoy, Rick, is two things. One, he's not Warren Sapp.
Yep.
And who is? So that's right. Not really, but I mean, he'll always be compared to Warren Sapp. And number two, they didn't win. You know, and ultimately, that's what it comes down to. I could point to guys in the NBA. I mean, like, just, you know, like somebody like a James Harden. You know, you look at James Harden, compare James Harden or Draymond Green, who would you rather have? Well, James Harden's a way better basketball player.
Yeah.
But Draymond Green will probably get more respect at the end of the day, or Robert Horry will get more respect at the end of the day because they won rings, they won titles. I think Gerald's always going to be haunted by the fact, even though it was not his fault, that he never won. Never won enough to get into the playoffs. He's never played a playoff game. And Rick, you're running this franchise obviously a lot more than I am. I think it's not his fault, but that's going to be on him for whatever reason. You know?
Yeah, no question. I mean, he's gone the longest in a Bucks uniform without appearing in a playoff. That you know, even exceeds Paul Gruber, who was that guy for years and years, and then he finally, you know, made it in '97 when they played the Detroit Lions and won at the old Sombrero, as it used to call. but the you know, the thing about McCoy, and I don't understand this. Like, I've been, you know, I think Twitter's one of the worst things that ever happened to us. By the way.
Amen.
We can do a whole show on that. I mean, there are people.
Do a whole podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Like a regular podcast every day.
Yeah, we could. Even the Pointer Media Institute might want to write about this.
Oh, man.
It has given voice to people who should not be speaking, in my opinion, many times. But that aside, I'm always, almost from the beginning, and I know he got hurt. You know, he came aboard at a time when rookies got paid a lot of money before they played a down, right? He was the last class, the 2010 rookie class, where there wasn't a rookie salary scale, so to speak.
Right.
And so he got 50-something million dollar signing bonus, you know, guaranteed. They used to give him in signing bonuses, like, boom, here's a big pile of cash. And I think a lot of older players resented that. That's why it was changed, you know, and we can debate whether that was a smart move or not. But at the end of the day, like, okay, so there's a lot of expectations. He was taken after Ndamukong Suh, which we'll get into in a minute. But it seems to me like there's something about how much money a guy makes that drives fans crazy.
Right.
And I've never understood this. Like, I know you pay a lot for tickets, and so that's factored in there somewhere, I suppose. But, you know, the NFL is a, you know, billions and billions of dollar industry, and so, you know, their labor agreement mandates they spend, every team has to spend at least so much on player costs, right? Over $100 million, really. So that being the case, or 150 or something, if that's the case, why do you care how they apportion it out? Like, I really do think that people looked at McCoy, and because he was the highest paid player, it had to be his fault,
right?
You know, that if this is an economic thing as much as anything, like, why do we want to punish people that are successful and say you're to blame for our problems? I've never
well,
understood.
And I think the other thing too, Rick, is that he pretty much has been the one constant through all.
He's
of
the
it.
Face through
He's
all.
He's the
it.
Face
yeah.
of the franchise, right? So yeah. His face is on the side of the building, and so I can't continue to blame Doug Martin for this year's problems.
That's
you know,
correct.
I can't blame
John Gruden
Lovie
or
Smith
Raheem Morris or Lovie Smith, right?
Right, and so I have to find somebody to blame. And well, he's here every year, so he's the guy. And he's the guy that talks every week, and
yeah.
he's the guy that, as you mentioned, he's the face of the franchise, and so therefore, he represents the entire decade of losing, as
right.
opposed to breaking it down year by year. And again, if I were to list all the reasons why the Bucks have been bad over the last decade, Gerald McCoy's name would, in my mind, would appear nowhere on that list. But he's going to take the blame because he's been the guy that's been here. Been there that whole time.
And that's the thing. You know, what's interesting is that the constant, the real constant, is the Glazers. It's the Glazer family. You
yeah.
don't see anything on Twitter about them. Very little is ever really, you know, pointed at the ownership as if, well, they hired the coaches, they should win.
Right, right. Here's the other thing with this franchise, Rick, it probably happens everywhere, but I live here, so that I notice it more here,
yeah.
is that I have never seen it. This is gonna get people. I know
oh, please
coming.
Come, bring it, buddy. Bring it, brother.
I've never seen a fan base so deluded in how good this franchise. You know, every year they go in and everybody thinks their team's going 12-4. This Bucks team every year, and I, you know, when we predict them to go 6-10,
people
and
jump
then
you,
we
yeah.
get killed, and
they really go 5-11. They never
right.
go 6-10.
And it's every year there's this expectation that's way higher than
reality.
Reality, right. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you go into every year and you think, well, the Glazers have done all they can do. They hired the right coach, and this is the coach. Like, how many times have we heard, okay, this is the guy. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? Schiano's the guy. Oh, wait a minute. Now, the Dirk Cutter's the guy. And yeah. Lovey's the guy. And now everybody's, Bruce Arians is the guy. Mm. And then when they don't perform well, then we turn it back on the players. And ultimately it is the players. You know, they're the ones that throughout their playing. But at the same, you know, so again, that's why Gerald McCoy, I think, gets a lion's share of the criticism, because he's been the one constant in terms of the fans thinking, well, it's you know, they've already felt that the owners did their job right. Now it's up to the players to perform, and they haven't.
Yeah, I get it. Players play, owners own, and all that, but it's just weird to me. Okay, so now Gerald McCoy is gone, and he'll land someplace, and you know, his goal is to go to a contender. We'll see, you know, if he's able to appear in a Super Bowl like so many other former Buccaneers. But now Ndamukong Suh is going to apparently replace him in this defense. I remember when they came out in 2010, there was a real debate about which player was better, and it was close. And if you look at their careers, they're very parallel in terms of numbers anyway. I mean, obviously Gerald missed pretty much the first 2 years with injuries, and that's sort of the difference. Gerald's, I think, statistically, I mean, he's about a sack and a half behind Sue career-wise, but Sue's played 33 more games. So you would say, you know, advantage goes to McCoy as a pass rusher. Sue, maybe a better run player, but different body types and all that. But Sue has his own baggage, Tom. I mean,
sure.
I don't know that we've seen him stomp on anybody's head in the last year or so, but he was once voted the dirtiest player in the NFL. He's not like Gerald at all. You know, I'm wondering if this is Arians wanting to put his stamp and tone setter on the defense in particular, and there's some schematic things too, but I think in general, this feels to me like, you know, the old, we want nasty guys, you know, we want to
well,
set the
if
tone.
If it's not, and I don't disagree with that, Rick, it may be this, if it, not only do we want nasty guys, but maybe we want different guys. You know,
and there you go.
And I sat there a minute ago and just defended Gerald McCoy, and I will defend him again. I don't want to say this in any way that people misconstrue what I say. I think he's been a fantastic football player, but maybe Bruce Arians comes in and says, you know what, we got to change something. We got to change the culture in some way. And this guy's been here all this time. It's not his fault, but
they're tired of his voice. They're tired of his voice.
Tired of his voice. Tired of his face. You know, it's like. Right. We just need, he's part of, and if we start losing a couple of games, is Gerald McCoy going to go, oh, here we go. I've lived through this for the last 9 years or whatever. So maybe Bruce Arians looked at it and said, we just need a different base, a different voice, a different player, somebody with a different personality. Yeah. I look on one hand, and this is what Sue's third team in the last 3 years. And so he's gone. If he was so special, maybe he would have stuck in Detroit or
the Rams. I mean, they went. He actually played really well in the playoffs, and you know, they didn't re-sign him. I mean, he's been out there since February,
right?
Essentially.
But I mean, I sort of get it that hey, let's bring in somebody who ultimately, Rick, you laid out his numbers. There was a debate. You're right about 2019. Which would you rather have, the kid from Oklahoma or the kid from Nebraska? And here we are, 10 years later, and we're still writing stories about it, and it's still pretty much up in the air. There's no definitive winner here. We can't sit here and say, well, clearly, you know, Sue's a better player. Clearly McCoy's a better player.
No, they're very close.
It's if you asked 100 really smart football people, you'd probably get a 50-50 split on which one you'd rather have. So I don't blame the Bucs for trying something different. Maybe it'll work. But, you know, I'm guessing, Rick, they probably had this in the works for a while. Do you think a while now?
I kind of went through the process with Gerald, who I've covered for a long time, and there was a lot more that I knew that I couldn't write at the time. But I think what happened was that the timing was everything, right? I mean, this could have happened a few weeks ago. JPP got in an accident, you know, in his Ferrari driving at 2 a.m. through the water, which is something. By the way, Tom, when you drive your Ferrari, do not drive it in the rain.
I hate when that happens.
I've told you not to do that, and those concrete barriers jump on you pretty quick. So
came out of nowhere.
Be careful. Because it's a serious thing, because he has the cervical fracture now, and they're not going to know anything for 12 weeks. So they needed to get all of that information, I think. In terms of McCoy, his agent said, well, you know, maybe this will impact him. You know, I mean, it was a legitimate thought that if you're not going to have JPP, right, could you not have JPP and McCoy? You know, like you're going to take those two guys out of what's already not a good defensive line. So that delayed it a little bit. I think there was a time when they thought they were close to a deal with New England, although I don't know what that would have been for. But it was obvious, you know, when your head coach or your new head coach is out there questioning, you know, your enthusiasm for the game and saying you're not as productive as you were 4 years ago, I don't think that helps your value.
But let me ask you real quick. Let me interrupt this, Rick, because I wasn't there. Obviously, I'm a little bit removed from it now. Mm-hmm. Do you think Bruce Arians was sending a message? Did he mean it the way it came out? Or do you think he was surprised that people jumped on that quote? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, did he just say something without trying to be insulting and it just came out that way?
I think he was stating a fact that most players, when they reach 30, 31 years old and the contract's, you know, backloaded and it's heavy on the backside, they're probably not living up to that, you know, production. And that's common in the NFL. That's why you don't have guaranteed money in the back end of many of these deals, because it's sort of the poison pill, right? If he's not playing well, we'll get rid of him. If he is, it's a hell of a lot of money, you know? So I think he was stating a fact. I think it came out kind of clumsy. I mean, for a long time, they were just, they just acted ambiguous about what his future was. Well, he's on the team, you know. Well, he's under contract, you know, that sort of thing. And you really didn't get an answer. So I don't really know what his intent was, but I know this, you know, Bruce Arians, as I'm learning every day, if you don't have an edge, he's going to create one for you. Like, he has this sort of old school, I'm going to call you out, I'm going to shame you publicly or in front of the team, and then I'm going to hug you, you know?
Right.
And I think that's, you know, he's done that with Vernon Hargraves. He's already starting to do some of this stuff. And I think maybe, I mean, there's some that thought, well, he's lighting a fire under McCoy. He's trying to see how this guy will respond to it, you know? But they didn't want him in OTAs. I mean, you know, if he'd gone out there and gotten hurt, you know, they would have been on the hook for $13 million without a player. So there was no way he was coming out until they had a resolution. I don't know why it took so long. I just say this. I mean, they had DeSean Jackson, who's making $10 million in Philadelphia, and Gerald McCoy is going to make at least $10 million someplace else. And they got a sixth-round pick and had to give up a seventh. They got no value for those two players whatsoever, which to me, you know.
Well, you could – I mean, I could argue that they got Ndamukong Suh for Gerald McCoy. You know,
Suh was a free agent. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of, you know – no draft picks, no, you know, they own their rights, and they essentially just put them on the free market.
Let me ask you one other thing, and you know Gerald probably as well as anybody in town. Do you think, and I get that he has a house here and he has his family, he's created a life here in Tampa Bay, but do you think he's okay with moving on, or do you think he's really depressed?
No, I think he's torn by it. I think it's hard, you know, when you spend this much time in one spot. And it's not so much the organization, because, you know, he's had to endure all the turnover with coaches and especially defensive line coaches and coordinators. He was a little angry, you know. It's the first time I've seen that side of Gerald. And I don't mean in a unfair way. I mean, you know, he's not like, you know, going, let's go crazy. It wasn't like that.
Right.
For the first time, I sensed, you know, a little bit of fire that I didn't expect to see. I mean, he plays – obviously you can't play in the NFL if you don't have that. But I think he was hurt by it. I think he felt a lot of times, you know, the organization really – they paid him a lot of money, but they didn't really support him in many ways. He was asked to do things that maybe weren't in his best interest as a player in terms of scheme and stuff like that. And I don't know, you know, when you go through that many administrations, I don't know that he felt like the organization always had his back. But he had a good relationship with the Glazer family. I think he's ready to move on. I know he wants to win. I mean, to him, he said he went to a Super Bowl last year for the first time, actually went to the game. He'd go up there every week during the festivities and then leave because he'd be endorsing something. But he actually went to the game in Atlanta last year, and I think he said that really sort of lit a fire under him and said, you know what, before I'm out of here, I might have he thinks he has 3 or 4 more years to play, but let's just say he has 1 or 2. He wants to have an opportunity to experience that. You know, like, my career won't be complete. I've never even played in a postseason game, let alone a Super Bowl, right? So he's made all the money in the world. It's time to chase the ring, and, you know, it'll work out for him. He'll get a chance to pick a place that makes sense, and we'll see how it goes. But, you know, it's funny. I think in some ways you're right about Arians and about what he's trying to do. And I think schematically, Sue might be a better player for what Todd Bowles wants to do because it's a 3-4. There was some projection with Gerald. He could have played in it for sure. But Sue has maybe a little more flexibility in this defense. And, you know, now he'll be next to Vita Vea, so you got two big bodies in the middle. We'll see how it goes. I mean, again, I haven't really been around in Dominican since 2010 when he was coming out in the draft. But I'm here to tell you, they are two different people and two different players. So,
well, and that's the thing that's funny that Gerald always got criticized around here for being too nice a guy.
Too nice, yeah.
Which is, like, I really don't care what you do, you know, after the whistles. You know,
right,
and
exactly.
If you help guys up or
yeah,
or smile at guys or talk to guys, that's never you – know, how are you between the whistles? And I always thought that he was a terrific player. And this Ring of Honor, like, this guy's no, – first off, this organization puts everybody in the Ring of Honor, which is
– Wait a minute. No, they don't.
They got two a year,
What are you
man.
Talking about?
They put two people in a year.
No,
you
they don't.
That,
Some
they
years
do?
It's one. Some years,
years
it's one.
How many
it's
people
It's one
they
this
got
year.
It seems like every time I turn
it's
around,
like
somebody else is going into the Ring of
They've
Honor.
Been playing for 45 years. I mean, it's not like, I mean.
Well,
you know.
I always joke, like, the, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't have, you know what their Ring of Honor is? It's in Canton, Ohio. You know, that's, but I mean. For,
so, well, that's but, what happens when you only got three players in Canton.
Well, that's, yeah, right. But I'm saying, like, if the Ring of Honor, like, if we agree that, okay, it really is truly a Ring of Honor. Yeah, he's a no-brainer, right, Gerald McCoy?
I think so, Tom. I mean, how many players have made six Pro Bowls? I know people don't consider Pro Bowls more than a popularity contest, but only, you know, Sapp made seven, so you start there. And then, you know, just the contributions he had to the team. He was a captain 6 years. He was a guy that did a lot in the community, which we're not honoring that necessarily. But he's still, when you start listing, you know, the best players in Bucs history, you're going to get to him at some point. I think he's a Ring of Honor candidate and should go in, but – You know, that's up to the Glazers. We'll see.
Right, and he'll be the – if he does go in, as of now, he'd be, what, the only guy up there who's never appeared in a playoff game. So that's
– Yeah, that would be his because, Paul, like I said, Paul Gruber was the oldest there to four, and then he got in a playoff game in 97, and he is indeed one of the many players who are well-deserving to being in the Ring of Honor, even though they're not in the Hall of Fame.
Next so up.
There's yeah. that, yeah.
Next up is
Ross Rondi Barber. And Rondi Barber, I think, is a good candidate for – I mean, I think that's a noble – that's a good selection, don't you think?
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. I think too many – for this franchise to put two in any 1 year
– They were on a run
funny.
There for a while, yeah. They
yeah,
were
they
definitely
were.
On a run there. What are you going to do about it? Let's talk about the Rays. You know, they got off to such a great start. What was it, 14-4? And I think they're like 13-14 or something like that since then. Kind of a slide going on mm-hmm. right now and not playing particularly well, especially against some of the top-rung teams. What are we seeing? Are they going to remain a contender, Tom? Or are we starting to see them now go back to oblivion here? What's
it's
happening?
It's easy to start doubting them. I got to be honest, though, Rick. I came into this season. I don't think my expectations were as high as most people's expectations.
Really? 90 wins last year? Really?
Yeah, they won 90 last year, and I didn't think they would repeat that. I looked at this team, and I'm like, I don't know. And I wasn't very confident about their lineup. I didn't think they would hit. And so I wasn't – when they got off to the really quick start,
yeah.
most people weren't surprised. I was surprised. I said, I don't think this team is that good. So yeah. now that they're not playing as well, I'm not saying I'm right because they very well I think they're probably better than I thought they were coming in. But it is a little bit concerning, Rick, and I do have concerns. I'm worried about this bullpen. I'm not crazy about the bullpen. I think there's some real holes in there, particularly at the back end. And you know, the lineup, it's hit or miss. And Rick, you and I went back and forth on text message the other day. And even
okay.
though I disagreed with you, I ultimately do agree with you in that I don't think this team is as good defensively as it's going to need to be ultimately. You know, I think you and I we could talk about it. You and I went back and forth on Willie Adames for a minute.
Well, Willie Adames made a bad throw. And
it was
an inning that, you know, had they gotten an out, I think it – if I'm not mistaken, and maybe Steve was there, so he can correct me, but I think the next maybe the next batter hit a home run.
Well, what happened? Well, what the whole inning was a disaster. They were tied,
yeah.
and then they walked about 17 guys.
Oh, it was in that inning. Okay,
yeah, and then
Choi dropped the ball
that he should have caught in foul territory, and then Adames
yeah.
really got sloppy. It wasn't like it wasn't even a bad throw as much as I think he lollygagged a little bit. I think he had more time than he thought he had. And then all of a sudden he had to gun it over there.
Gag.
He gunned it over there. And of course, Choi couldn't dig it out.
Yeah.
Because it was and low, then, and he makes a lot of low throws. I mean,
he does. And
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
My thing is, like, who else are you going to play there? You know, they got
No one now. I mean, you know, Matt Duffy, God bless him, is trying to recover from his 25th hamstring toe injury.
Matt Duffy, whatever. I want to like that guy. I really want to like him a lot. But, man, oh, man, it's hard not to get frustrated. And you don't blame guys for getting hurt. I mean, questioning that
he certainly doesn't want to be hurt. But
Right. But, you know, let's not pencil him into lineup quite yet.
No, and you're right. I mean, it would be different, like, if Daniel Robertson were playing better. I mean, eventually Joey Wendell will come back, and I think he's, you know, one of their better infielders.
And I understand your point about Willy Adames is that I could live with the .237 average and you know, not much production offensively as long as you're, you know, you don't have to be Omar Vizquel on the field, but you got to be pretty good. You can't be.
Well, I mean, you pointed out, and I didn't know this, but you pointed out he had only made four errors.
He's four errors, and he's sort of middle of the pack defensively.
I don't think it's like make the routine play. I don't even care that you make the spectacular play once in a while, and most shortstops will come up with one here and there. But if the ball's hit to you in a situation with two outs, one out, I don't care what it is, it's got to be an out. Like it's got to be routine. To the point where
I hear you.
To a point when I watched him, when I watch him play, that when the ball is hit for a fleeting second before he releases it, it's like, where's it going? You know what I mean?
No,
I guarantee you, G-Man Choi is saying the same thing over there. Like, oh, whatever, however he says it in Korean, he's saying, where's it going?
Here's the thing, and you say that, Rick, and I don't know this for a fact, but if you're thinking that, then you have to wonder, well, is Blake Snell thinking that? You know,
They are. Kevin Cash is thinking that.
Is Charlie Morton thinking that? Does that affect the way they pitch if you're not totally 100% confident in your defense behind you? I think Willy Adames, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's eventually going to – I don't think he's ever going to hit for a ton. I think he's going to be the best you could hope for is a – I think if he turns out to be a
240, 250, 270. So 270, okay.
Yeah, well I think that would be the best you could hope for. But he's probably a 250 to 265 hitter somewhere in there. And I think he's going to be fine. But – overall, Rick, defensively, I have some questions about this team. If Glasnow comes back and there's some optimism there that it's not going to be a long term thing, then I start to feel a little bit better about this team's chances. But you know, I'm still Blake Snell's going to be fine. He's shown enough to me that last year wasn't a fluke. But I don't know. The thing that scares me if you're a Rays fan is that the Yankees have just been crushed by injuries. And they're in first place. You know, I mean, no Judge, no Stanton, no Gregorius. I mean, they have nobody. Half their lineup's out, and they're in first place. And I think Boston will catch fire at some point. I think Boston will go on one of those, you know, 35-5 tears at some point because they're just too good. So, I don't know. I'd like to see them go well deep into the summer, but I'm not overly optimistic right now.
The one thing that would concern me is they got these they're in this stretch of 34 games in 34 days and something like 72 and 73 or something like that.
Right.
It's an insane amount of baseball. And, you know, right as they sit right here, and I know they're hoping to get Glasnow back here maybe sooner than later. But, you know, can you survive with just two starters?
Right.
And then, you know, have this bullpen, this opener thing, and then the bulk inning guys. And I think at some point, that's got to catch up to you somewhere down the road. But I would agree that, you know, the pitching is what's probably been the best part of this team and has kept them in it. And the hitting is what you're just not certain about. You know, like, you know, they play a lot of close games, and that might just be because they can't separate. You know, they can't get those big innings and put up those crooked numbers and have an easier time of it. But certainly the pitching keeps them in it. It's a hard road, man. I mean – you know, I credit the Rays, though. I think what they've done, like the other day, the Yankees, on the anniversary of the opener, used an opener. It didn't go so well for them.
Right.
But what do you make of it? I mean, they continue to reinvent themselves. I mean, to the point where, Baseball marvels at what they are. And the thing that, and we can do the attendance show every time we talk, but by gosh, this will come to an end one day. And getting 8,000 and 10,000 people in that building for something other than the Yankees or the Red Sox series is not going to keep them here. They're going to have to find a solution. And the clock is ticking fairly loudly now. 2027 is when they're out the building. It's not when they have to have a solution. They need one right way before that.
No, absolutely. And what they had 15,000. I want to say 50. Steve, you were there Tuesday night. Clayton Kershaw pitched
for the Dodgers.
Yeah, it was just over 15,000. It was military night as well.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, you look at 15,000, and you try to make that sound good. You're like,
it's one of the better crowds.
Okay,
it's
not bad for the Rays.
Right. They've been at 8,000 a couple times this year.
You know, again, you can't base everything you think on Twitter, but I was reading a bunch of Twitter comments because Mark Topkin's just been taking a brutal beating from Rays fans every time he mentions attendance, as if it's off limits or he's not supposed to report that sort of thing. But one of the things I noticed, and I get it. People are saying, well, I live in Tampa and I don't want to drive. I live in St. Pete and I drive to Lightning games. Like, it's got to be both ways here. You know, I mean,
doesn't have to be.
Well, apparently doesn't. You're exactly
right.
Stadium
over here, and then we'll see that you don't have to go both ways.
Well, I guess not, but I'm just saying, if, you know, Lightning fans are in Pinellas County are doing their part, I'd like to see people stop. But I get it. I would never tell somebody how to spend their money or how to spend their time. That's yours, you know, so
right.
Who am I to tell you? But what I can tell you is, even if you live in Tampa and you refuse to go to the games in St. Pete, totally you're right. Or if you can't afford it, totally you're right. Here's the thing. You can't bitch about it when they leave.
Yeah.
When they're playing in Montreal, you can't blame them for doing that if you didn't do your part. And I don't blame you if you don't, but you can't complain about it later.
Oh, they'll complain. Don't worry.
Sure they will.
That's going to happen.
And I don't want to turn this into the stadium show either, Rick. I'm just going to ask you right. So what is this, 2019?
Yeah.
Eight years from now, 2027, where will this team be playing?
Tampa.
Yeah, they're going to be in
Florida.
Montreal. They're going to be in Montreal.
Montreal?
Yeah. Or
who
Nashville
the hell wants to go to Montreal? Why is that?
Nashville or
baseball
Vegas.
Doesn't want to go there.
How about Vegas?
Small market, TV markets, and you're going to leave one of the fast. Although I will say, and I don't know how else this is not just true, I think Florida sports markets in general are bad. You know?
Yeah, like, and it's just gotten so easy. Rick, I think TV's ruined everything. It's not ruined it, but it's made the experience great for sports fans. Why go? Like, why?
Right.
You're asking me, and I get it. Again, people watch the games at home, and I'm like you're probably like me, Rick. I'll tune into the Rays.
Yep.
This happened last night with the hockey game. So I'm watching a hockey game, and it's, 4-0, 3-0. I'm like, all right, is Law and Order on? Is Goodfellas on? Like, I'll go do something else. Like, but if I pay money to go see a game, now I'm in. If I'm paying money to go see a movie, there's a new Tarantino movie coming out in soon with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, I'll spend, my wife and I will go spend, I'll spend, you know, 50,
oh, you're
60
70,
bucks on a night.
$60, $70,
But I know I'm guaranteed entertainment, man. If I go to Rays game, am I guaranteed that they're going to win? You know, I mean, we're taping this Wednesday morning. I'm going Wednesday night just because I haven't been to a game in a while. And
you can't guarantee they're going to win, but you should be relatively guaranteed of a good experience and that they have a good product.
Right.
They'll be in the game. It'll be competitive. You can't, of course you don't know they're going to win, but I mean, you also don't know if the movie's going to go exactly the way you want it.
But it's probably a better bet. It's probably a safer bet. I'm going to have a good time at dinner and a movie.
Yeah.
Then guarantee, I'm saying guaranteed,
guaranteed
of a sporting event. So anyway, I think it's a shame because your ultimate point here that this, what this ownership has done, what this front office has done. And here's, I'll go take it one step further. I don't care where Stu Sternberg lives. You know,
I get that
people like, well, I've been to more games than Stu Sternberg's been at Tropicana Field. So why should I, why does that matter? Bill Davidson lived in Detroit,
And they won a Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup, the only cup ever under
that. No one complained about it, as I recall.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not relative to anything. Speaking of the NHL, so did you have Boston and St. Louis in your Stanley Cup final pool?
Can I say this? No. In the first half, no. But I've been a hockey fan my whole entire life. You know me. I covered the sport. It's probably my favorite sport, ultimately. This is the first time I can remember, probably since the 80s, that I find the NBA playoffs infinitely more interesting than the NHL playoffs.
Even with the Warriors 4-0 sweep?
But even that has been fascinating to watch those games without Kevin Durant.
That's true. They've been competitive, I guess.
Right. And then you have Kawhi Leonard with hitting a big shot in Game 7. 18-point
comebacks. And yeah.
Damian Lillard with his unbelievable, like, practically half-court shot to win a game. And you're watching Giannis with Milwaukee. Yeah.
But why is that? Because the top-rung teams aren't in the NHL Finals?
Maybe. That could be it. Now, like, we'll look at it from a Tampa Bay perspective, and I would feel totally different if the Tampa Bay Lightning had won a game instead of getting swept. Or they were still alive, we'd probably be way more interested, obviously, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, I mean, but they got knocked out early. We like to talk about, oh, it's great to see upsets in sports. By the time we got to the conference finals, we had no Sidney Crosby. We had no Alex Ovechkin. Toronto, which is an interesting team, they were out.
Every division winner lost in the first round.
Nashville was not. Nashville's kind of a sexy team. These teams right now, Boston's really good. Okay, Boston's good, and they're actually kind of interesting to watch. They're fun to watch.
And it's been days since they've won a world championship in that city. I mean, that fan base is suffering.
Isn't that the worst part of this all?
Is it not? It's totally the worst part.
When is this has ever happened, that if they win the Stanley Cup, they will have three defending champions at that point. Right. I don't know if that's ever happened.
I can't quote it, but I mean, what the hell's wrong with the Celtics is what I want to know.
I know, exactly.
How would you like to be those guys?
You know? But this series will be I fully expect Boston to completely run over St. Louis.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't think this series will be close. I think unless Boston comes in rusty, you know, maybe St. Louis steals game one.
Off.
Yeah, just because they've been out for a while. But St. Louis is a cool story. I mean, they fired their coach midway through the year. They were the worst team in the West, or maybe the worst team in all of hockey. Like January.
What's the lesson then for the Lightning? I mean, because they had this great regular season, I would assume there's going to be changes. But what can they glean from happened in this? Is this just a one off in terms of what happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs, or is there something these two teams did better than anybody else other than?
I don't know. You always look back at the end of the season, at the end of the playoffs, and say, you know, what did those teams do? And it's hard to put your finger on it. Rick, I've been having people come up to me since the middle of April, you know, for six weeks now, and saying, what happened to the Lightning? And I still don't have an answer. I don't know what happened to them. I don't, and I don't know what they do to fix. I mean, there's a part of you that really says, you know what, don't change a thing. You're okay. This was a total fluke. And then there's also a part of me that thinks, should they blow it up? You know, should you just
gotta do something?
Should
right?
you make you a big, like a major deal? I mean, should you? And I don't know what that major deal is, but I mean, do you package? And I know this sounds crazy, but do you package Kucherov and this guy and that guy and, you know, for three other superstars on another team? I don't know. All I know is, like, this should not have happened, and it did, and I can't explain it. I mean, there are a whole lot of reasons why that, you know, maybe they got a little comfortable. They got a little fat after taking that 3-0 lead in the first period.
Kucherov gets suspended.
You have Victor Hedman was hurt. I think if there's anything that I learned from this playoffs is Victor Hedman's their most valuable player, like by far. He's their most important player. He was not. He, you know, his first two games he wasn't himself. Then didn't even play the other two games. You know, Ryan McDonough like fell off the face of the earth in that series. So I don't know. I don't know how to explain it at all. And I don't know what lessons can be learned from it. And I don't know. All I know is it's got to be depressing to be a Lightning person right now, because you have to wait now an entire year just to get to this point, which is where you thought you were going to be. And you still haven't won a Stanley Cup. You know,
it was stunning. I mean, they were over. It was done. We watched them tie the NHL record for most regular season wins on a Saturday, and by Friday, they were out of the playoffs.
It's unbelievable.
It was the quickest 6 days I've ever. I mean, the swing was just unbelievable. They're at the top of a mountain, and I mean, it was a leap without a parachute, man.
And the thing was, Rick, if you would have told me right then and there, okay, instead of being a best of 7, we're going to play a best of 11, you know, or a best of 13, I don't think they'd have won in any other games after that either. The way those games went down,
no,
they were just getting destroyed. And this whole thing, like, well, Tortorella out, Coach Cooper. I don't know if that's true or not.
It's a little true.
I don't know. I don't, Rick. At some point, you have the best players. You have 70. Or here's another thing. You know, all Julian Brisebois should have made a move at the trade.
I don't know about that.
They were on their way to winning 62 games.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. What was sounding the alarm bells there, right? Yeah.
Right, and well, you should have added some playoff experience or a guy who won a cup before. I don't know, Rick. The problem is I don't know how this doesn't stick with you forever. I just don't. I don't know. I'm waiting to see, and that'll be the most fascinating part of next season, and we won't know until truly a year from now. Is how this impacted him, because I don't know how you come back from this. I really don't. I don't know how you win 62 games. And it's not like you ran into like an incredibly hot goalie where you were out shooting the other team 50-10 every night and just lost every game 1-0 because the other team's goalie was incredible. Like, that didn't happen. You got blown out of the playoffs. I don't know how you get over it. I really don't.
I think you,
especially because you never won a cup. Like, if they had won like 2 years ago, you could say, oh, okay, well, at least they got their cup. Like, the time that the Red Wings, you know, had won their 62 games, they had already had a cup at that point, and they went on to win more, you know?
True.
This team has still not won a cup. It'll go down really, truly, not only this year, but this era of one of the most disappointing, you know, in NHL sports history.
Just sports in general, modern sports. I mean, when there's a team that ties a franchise record for the most wins in a sport and then loses in the first round or even goes to play a first round playoff game, the team they'll mention, well, you know, the Lightning, they back in 2018-19, you know, that team set a league record for wins, and they were gone in 4 days, so 4 games. So That's where they are. They made history, not the kind they wanted.
Well, and you look at this team, too, and it's like, I look at the other times they've lost. You and I have talked about this. The other years they've lost, they got beat by the team that won the cup. And I think in all three of those years, I can make a pretty good argument that those other teams were better than
they were.
And I could go back and look at the Buffalo Bills when they won. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, when they went to 4 Super Bowls, maybe they were better than the Giants that year that Scott.
The first year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I think they lost to teams that were way better than they were. The Vikings, the old Vikings, they lost to teams that were better than they were. You know, this unfortunately, this year, the Lightning, they still haven't won a cup. Like, Columbus is not a better team than they're just not.
No.
You know, nobody's better than them.
And they, yeah, no.
And they didn't win
it. It was weird. Let's wrap it up on this. This was a question I'm stealing. And brazenly so from, I think it was somebody had asked on The Athletic, maybe Greg Allman, somebody like that. But it's a good question, so I like it, and I'm gonna ask you. Who now then, with Gerald McCoy gone, you know, the Rays being who they are, who is now the face of Tampa Bay sports?
Wow. It's you, isn't it? It's Rick Stroud.
Well, yeah. Well, my face, my literal face is everywhere. It's embarrassing.
I was going to say, every time I turn around, I run into a poster of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I was at Al Lang Field the other day, and I saw
it. I know. It's crazy. Me. I grew up there running around in the stadium, and it's embarrassing. But people,
you know what? I went on Saturday mornings. They had, like, a farmer's market, like, in a parking lot at Al Lang. And
you're a big farmer's market guy. Get your fresh vegetables and everything?
Yeah. Get your sausages and all that jam in there.
Yeah.
So I go down there, and my wife had to use the restroom. And she asked, they said, oh, you can use the restroom inside Al Lang. You got to go up the ramp.
I don't know if I like where this is going.
Well, no, she comes back and she goes, she started to walk up there and she come right back immediately. And I was like, what? Is something wrong? She goes, you got to come see this. I go, what? She goes, look at that.
Could have been you, like, Tom.
It could have been me. It could have been me. Should have been me.
Yeah, that's right.
There was like a huge picture of Rick Stroud up on the
It was supposed to be Rick and Tom's podcast. I don't know what the hell happened. Now it's Sports Day Tampa Bay with me and Steve Bursa.
Well, you looked good. Fine. You look good. They used a good
photo. Yeah, it was a 1987
You look the same, though. You look the same. You haven't changed a bit. Much. Seriously, you look exactly the same as you did 30 years ago. I would, boy, who's the face of Tampa Bay sports?
Face of Tampa Bay sports right now. The number one, you say Tampa Bay sports, boom, who pops in your head?
Okay, so.
Right away.
Immediately, there are three people that come to mind, and all of them, there's a question mark about all of them. Like, the three that come to mind, okay, when I think of Lightning, I think of Steven Stamkos. When I think of the Rays, I think of Blake Snell. And when I think of the Bucks, I think of Jameis Winston. And right now, nobody wants to think of Steven Stamkos because he epitomizes everything that went wrong with this season, with the Lightning in the playoffs. Blake Snell is—he's quiet. We don't hear much from him. He's not very—you know—he's not a very doesn't have a real big personality. And Jameis is again—he's the quarterback of a team that's
losing.
That's losing, and he has let's be honest, has a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
So I don't feel good about any of those guys. And it's what's funny, Rick, is that Nikita Kucherov's about to win the MVP in the National Hockey League.
And we're not, that face did not pop in my head.
No, it didn't. But I mean, he's going to win
the best player in the league.
He's going to be the MVP of the league. He's the leading scorer of the league.
But this
Blake Snell won a Cy Young.
He won a Cy Young, but Kucherov is not, in my mind, he's not Marty St. Louis. You know what I mean?
Like, not.
Marty won the MVP, and you immediately say, "Oh, well, Marty St. Louis." You know, like Kucherov, you don't feel that. He doesn't strike that sort of resonance. I would say Stamkos right now.
I'm going to go with Jameis. I think if you were to ask the fans of Tampa Bay, I think they would say Jameis.
Jameis Winston, the face of Tampa Bay sports.
No, don't you think? I mean, he's the quarterback.
Well, the NFL's king. We know that. The Rays, it's really hard. You're right.
What about old Green Eyes, Kevin Kiermaier?
I thought, you know what? He came into my head.
He's the prettiest face of Tampa Bay sports.
You know what?
The most chiseled face.
Kevin Kiermaier drives me crazy, man. Just drives me crazy. Because I think he plays hard, man. I think he plays hard. He's a good guy. I think he's a good guy, you know? But he just drives me crazy. Like the play Tuesday night where he gets thrown out at third base with nobody out.
A leadoff double, yeah.
You're losing 6-3.
Down by three, yeah.
And I don't know the numbers. I'd be curious how many bunt singles he has this year. Steve, you see all these games. Does he have any?
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
How is that possible? Because
they're playing the shift on the guy.
Every year I hear about, like, oh, this is the year he's going to beat the ball into the ground. He's going to go the other way. He's going to take advantage of the shifts. Nope. And every time I look up, he's grounding out to short right. You know, it's so no, he's not the face of Tampa Bay. But I like, he's a nice guy. But I don't. I think it's Jameis, Rick. Who you're going with Stamkos?
I would go with Stamkos just because he's you're right. He's not the league MVP, but he's had the most longevity and has been an all-star and probably with the best franchise. So by default, it's Steven Stamkos.
He's
the face of the Lightning, right?
He's great. I mean, yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. He's great with the media.
He's done everything right. I mean,
he's active. Yeah, he's been a model.
Does he have a chance at the Hall of Fame, you think? Hockey Hall of Fame?
Oh, I don't think so. Not yet.
No.
No.
Wow.
I mean.
Got to win a cup or more goals?
I don't know that he has to win a cup. It'll help. I mean, it got Marty in.
Funny thing is, 500 goals.
If I showed you Marty's numbers, if you just looked at Marty's numbers and didn't know anything about him.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell you how many that any of those years were scoring titles or that he won cup years or MVP. I just showed you his numbers. You would say that guy's not even close to being a Hall. You know who he is? He's Lynn Swann. He's the Lynn Swann of hockey. Like, he had big moments in big games, and his numbers were just
But he's there.
I'm surprised he got in.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah. Well, this has been fun. Tom Jones, you can see him or read him on, pointer.org?
Pointer.org.
Right?
Sign up for the newsletter.
Your daily newsletter.
Daily newsletter every weekday, anyway, and the latest in the media world. Yeah.
Always fun to catch up with you, Tom. Thanks so much.
Thanks, fellas.
To you again. All right, folks. We want to get you ready for our very popular mailbag show tomorrow. So get your questions in. Here's how you do it. You just can email those to me at rstroud@tampabay.com, or you can on Twitter send those questions to @SportsDayTB. That's @SportsDayTB, or on Twitter to me at @NFLStroud, and we will be happy to use your questions, give you all the answers. And I know there's lots of questions out there about the Bucks, of course, the Rays, the Bolts, all of that. Anything you have, USF, the Rowdies, you name it, and we'll get you on those questions tomorrow. Also, the Rays open a 4-game series tonight against the Cleveland Indians, and we'll be following the Bucks and their what appears to be their impending signing of Ndamukong Suh, and we'll follow where Gerald McCoy lands as well. And folks, remember now, if you want to combat those electric bills, I got a way you can do it. Call my friends at May Electric Solar. Do it now. If you do it through 2019, you get a 30% tax credit by changing to solar energy.
Call the real Amaya Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. For Steve Bursnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.